My message is going to be the grace challenge. I think I'll start out, I wasn't going to, but I kind of just came into my head. Ephesians 2:8-9. What is that? For by grace you are saved. And in the Greek, it's in the perfect tense. So you are and have been saved, or you have been saved and continue to be saved. We're continuing results. By faith, simple faith, right? Not of ourselves, not none we do, get baptized, turn from all of our sins, commit our life to God. No works. It's not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, right? A gift, some paid for by someone else, free to you because it was paid for by the precious blood of our Savior. And so it's not by works, right? All of us know that, right? I share that with 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, that Christ died for our sins personally. According to the scriptures, he was buried, he rose, right? Paul said, this is what you're saved on, and you stay saved. Because you believe that message, right? All of us know that, right? That's what the gospel we share. But sometimes we forget the next verse. Go to Ephesians 2:10. For we are, well, let's start at 9. Not of works, lest anyone should boast, right? Nobody's saved by works. Nobody stays saved by works. That's teaching is what you call lordship salvation. Okay? But what are we saved unto? For we are his workmanship. That means God wants to do some work through us, right? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So God wants to do good works through us as individual members of the body of Christ. Okay? So before I get into, it's actually a challenging message, but we should, you know, why do you come to church? Why'd you come to church this morning? I want you to think about it. You don't got to say anything out loud. Some people just come for fellowship. You know, like a club, a social club, you know. Yeah, that is one reason we come, for the fellowship of the saints, right? And what? To hear the word, right? Rightly divided? To hear the grace message and build us up in that, right?
We're commanded to.
And we should fill our minds, right, with the word of God, with sound doctrine, right? But should it stop there? That's, some people just get it up here, and then they take this knowledge and they just use it to try and impress people and argue with people. You know, the one pastor, some guy come up to him about his message and started correcting him on it and what he did or didn't do. And he said, you know what? I like the way I preach better than the way you don't. Some people just nitpick and complain. See, we get the sound doctrine, but it needs to get into our hearts and our wills, and so we can apply it in our lives. So the challenge for me that I would like to do today is, let's go to Ephesians 4. Chapter 4, since we're right here. And what I want to say before we go here, for the great grace challenge, anything that's done for the Lord has got to be done through Christ in you. Your dependence on His Holy Spirit to empower you, His resurrection life in you, to live out of you, and the Holy Spirit to produce fruit. So don't get me wrong with this challenging message. Because we can't do the things that I'm going to sort of do a little challenge to you and myself. Remember, when you're up here, you got one people finger pointed out and one three back at you. So I just want to start out with there. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to start in verse 7 to 16. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Everybody has been given grace. Every saved person. Even God offers his salvation by grace through faith, not by works, as a gift. Right? Even the lost people. But we've received this grace, right? And look at it, it's according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, so Paul's quoting some from the Old Testament. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? So Paul's sort of asking a question to build up to his argument here. He that descended, so he came down, right, is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So if you notice something, now he's ascended, right? So what he's going to teach next, this happened not before, not in his earthly ministry. This happened after. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, I'm not going to go all into that because Dave has, I'm sure, dealt with this when he went through Ephesians. the pastor, excuse me, I have in the past, but I just want to, for those out there maybe who don't understand about a lot about the rightly dividing the word or the dispensation of grace to live in, these men, apostles and prophets, were men that were gifted, that Christ gave, in the early, immature forming of the body of Christ, before you had the scriptures completed. By the time Paul wrote Colossians, the scriptures were completed. So it was given to me to complete, perfect, or complete the scriptures. Okay, so that office, if you read in 1 Corinthians about tongues, prophecies, what's the other one? Knowledge. Them were sign gifts, okay? That they would go off seeing when that which is perfect has come. Now, that which is perfect is not Jesus Christ. Because in the Greek, it's in the neuter form. It's a thing. Because, you know, our charismatic brothers and sisters that I love, I used to be a Pentecostal, you know, until I got control of my tongue. No. they would say, see, when Jesus comes back, the sign gifts will go off. No, it can't be. Because the Greek don't allow that. So when that which is perfect is what? Paul said we know in part, right? But then we'll know in full. It was partial knowledge. And these apostles and prophets, and those who would speak in tongues, and those who would interpret it, this was new information in the part of the mystery that was hidden other ages, right? Well, they needed it. The church needed that gift, but once the word of God is completed, now you don't need the gift anymore. So that, as they died out, and well, that gift died out. But you'll still see Paul talking about pastors and teachers, right? Through his epistles, his later epistles even. So think what he writes Timothy, right? And he even told him he was an evangelist. So I just want you to see something here. That let's go back to verse 12. For the and why now would God have pastors and teachers? For the perfecting or maturing of the saints. Now, I want to stop there for a sec. Our church, I think, is very blessed. Because, and I'm not talking about myself because I ain't all that. I come up short, Bill, even as a teacher and preacher. But Dave is a fantastic Bible teacher, man. You know, so thorough, and he gets so many verses in. I don't know how he does it. I'm glad he didn't show up, because then I'd feel like I got to get in on my versus Dave's here. And he's bigger, he's a lot bigger than me, you know. He might take me out back and, you know, kind of, why didn't you get in all your verses? And, you know, I'm a martial artist, but I got to respect him as, you know, the man of God and the Bible teacher, so I'd have to let him slap me around, you know, humbly. Of course, Dave wouldn't do that. But our pastor and in our church, we're blessed. Because we got a pastor who teaches verse. I love expository preaching, verse by verse by verse. And you're digging out what's there. You're not adding. Like some pastors, you know, TV will take a verse here, there, and mix them all together, you know, and you got a jello preaching, right? Just kind of shaky. And they like doing that. They don't like going verse to verse, because then they can't take things out of context. But our pastor keeps it in context. And I ain't saying he's perfect. I don't agree with everything that he teaches. But overall, you know, we got a sound pastor. And so we got to, not only that, he's a caring pastor. If you've been there long, he's been there for you, you know. And so that function as an assembly really functions in our church, the teaching and the preaching, right? But it shouldn't stop there. Let's keep reading. So he gave, at the end, our pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, so the maturing. And what? What else? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, there's a work of the ministry, and our church lacks that. How much are we doing? I've sort of, this is my, what do you call it when you get up on your bucket?
Soapbox
for me. Because I look in Scripture and the things Paul did and his workers and how they outreached. They outreached an area. What are we doing here besides the nice new church sign? And maybe, I know the other one used to have where you could put a Bible verse or a little, you know, something. Everyone is gifted. You have an ability. Or I do. Dave and the pastor would disagree with me. I believe there ain't no sign gifts, but there are inward gifts. I believe preaching and teaching is a gift from God. And there's, look in Romans, it goes through a bunch of the gifts that, you know. So what are we doing? Are we just come to church to learn and to feel good? And so we can say, I go to church. Oh, me and my family, we're good. My mother, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they come to the door, you know, she answered the door, and she didn't study the Bible much. She had a great heart. My wife's heart reminds me of my mom's. But she go, oh, that's okay, honey. We're a good Christian family. And I asked her later, I said, Mom, do you understand you're saved by grace, not by being good? She goes, yeah. But that was her little witness. So. So what the challenge I'm looking at that I see in the Scripture, and I think Paul, he's our pattern, right? He's our pattern in salvation. He said what in 1 Timothy, I think, chapter 1, around 15, that he was saved as a pattern for those who would believe after. How was he saved? Completely by grace. Christ saved his worst enemy, right? He saved, and then what did he do? All by grace? He sent. God saves us because he wants to send us out. We're not under the what they call the Great Commission, go baptizing and making disciples. That was the kingdom program, because there'll be a kingdom of priests. And that will be back in vogue after the rapture and during the 7-year tribulation when Christ comes back. There'll be a kingdom of priests. Ours is the ministry of reconciliation. That's our commission. That's what we need to be reaching out. So, you know, I got an idea, actually. I'm going to talk to the board later about something for our church to do together. To have a little thing, and when, you know, the weather is getting nicer now, where a puppet show for kids with the message, sharing the gospel, teaching them something maybe about not doing drugs, and at the end you're bringing the gospel in. to have face painting. You know, different things. And we can all pitch in and do the work of the ministry. Reach out. These people don't know us. They drive by and think, you know, some of them think they're probably Jesus freaks, hypocrites. And all of a sudden they meet you. They come with their kids. And they're like, they were very loving and kind and nice. Except that one person was trying to argue with me. You know, don't do that. Give them time. But we give them, it's not just to get people coming to the church, you know, to get a big mega church. What I'm talking about is getting the gospel to them. A reason for them to come, have some fun, you know, and we all work towards it. We'd all have to, like, buy some waters to give, maybe have hot dogs. But that's an outreach. What if one person got saved through that? Do you know, anybody know who led Billy Graham to the Lord?
No.
You don't even know his name. He led Billy Graham. Right. Billy Graham's, now I ain't talking about his doctrine, but I know my old pastor got saved at one of his conferences. I think he started out good, later he kind of went in, kind of off, but as he got older, but he's been all over the world. Led, you know, millions to the Lord. But it was one person who shared with one person. He got saved. Yeah. Don't get discouraged when you keep sharing and it seems like, you know, you're shooting BBs at a 10-foot thick cement wall. The Word of God is living and active. It's powerful, right? You're shooting bombarding bombs and it's going to their heart. And another might come and water that seed, right? And another, and you don't know. Sometime we won't find out. I think we'll be surprised how God used us.
Very soon.
Yeah. At the Bema seat, when Christ hands out rewards. I think we'll be surprised. Maybe somebody you didn't, that, you know, I still pray for cult members because I studied apologetics. So when Jehovah's Witnesses come, I invite them in. They don't twist the scriptures with me. They try, but I corner them. I go, no, no, no. Go back to that scripture because they're taught to hop here to there, there. I go, no, no, no. Tell me what that means. You know, so I still pray for, through the years, I talk to Mormons, you know, Word and Faith people, you know, that name and claim it, blab it and grab it, prosperity gospel, that's straight out of the metaphysical cults. Did you know that? That's where it originated in, and then it got copied by their grandfather of the Word and Faith movement. So let's go back here. So the work of the ministry, I believe, is twofold. For the edifying of the saints, right? Building up the saints. How about if we add some ministries here? But see, one person can't do it all. You know, sometimes congregations think the pastor's on the payroll, so he should do the work of the ministry. No, he can't do everything. You know his main responsibility? Is that building at sound grace doctrine into you, to edify you for what? The work of the ministry. When you leave here, think about you're entering the mission field. Not, I'm glad that message is over. I almost fell asleep. You wait there, Bill? me and this guy, he's my sidekick, like Johnny Carson and Ed McMahon. Anyway, what if we started praying, God, what's a ministry that you want to do through me? You go, I'm not a Bible teacher. I can't preach. You ever do drugs? God bring you out of drugs? Brought me out of drugs. I thank him for it. So many things he brought me out of. He brought me out of depression, where I just wanted to die for months. Who better to minister? How about a woman than someone who's been there, and God showed through his word how to be set free from, like, your past? Drugs, it might be, if you lead a Bible study, helping somebody be free from religious bondage, right? How about a woman who's was in an abusive relationship, a marriage? Who better to minister to somebody, right? So let's think of ways. You know, I would be willing, if somebody wanted to open up their house, and us have a 10 or 12 week, once a week meeting to be for Christians who are struggling with drugs because they're past. Or unsaved people come in because someone want to get free, and we give them the gospel. Then we build them up in sound grace doctrine, their identity in Christ. See, that's what we should be doing, not just coming and learning. You got to learn. You know, I ain't saying doctrine ain't important. My old pastor used to say, doctrine is the stuff that life's made out of. But it's letting the doctrine work in you and work out of you. But a lot of times we just want to be comfortable, don't we? And sometimes in our uncomfortableness. I remember as a young Pentecostal, I didn't know much, but there was just something in my heart that I wanted to get in some type of ministry. So I took a step of faith, because that's what it takes. One step, you take two steps. That's how you walk in the Spirit. And they had, all they had going in that church too was a senior home ministry. I said, I could go there and sing with them as long as I don't sing too loud. If you've heard me sing. Bill has, because he sits there. And he's nice. He doesn't turn around, and which I'm surprised. Say, Paul, keep it down. Mary, you keep going. But anyway, I went there, and some of you have heard this story, but maybe there's somebody new out there that hasn't. And the guy, the assistant pastor, didn't show up. So the older women, the grandmas, they said to me, Paul, would you preach today? I'm like, whoa! I don't know how to do that. I never did it. And they're like, you know, like grandmas and mothers will use guilt on you, you know? Okay, but when I die, you'll be sorry. So they go, well, I guess the seniors won't have no church today. What am I going to say, right? So I'm like, okay. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this. And here's what I did. I opened up the Word of God. That ain't the way you're supposed to do it. You know, you don't just go, like some people do. Speak to me, God. You know, and then you heard that story that, you know, guy's praying God about something. He says, speak to me. So he goes to that verse, and it says, Judah hung himself. And he's like, no, that, sorry, God, my finger probably, that arthritis act up. So he goes again, shuts his eyes, and he looks at it and says, go and do likewise. So that ain't the way you preach or you study the word, right? But that's, I didn't know what to do. I opened it up. My knees were shaking, literally. My voice was shaking. But I opened my mouth. See, that's step of faith. Depending on God. And guess what happened? I started preaching powerfully. That was the Holy Spirit. And I found out my gift was teaching and preaching. I would never known that if I didn't make myself available to the Lord. Seen an opportunity that I wasn't comfortable with even. So I would encourage you this week, don't just leave it at church. Ask God, where can I fit in, Lord, to do the work of the Lord at Faith Bible Church? I want to serve you. I want to be used by your Spirit. You know the only thing that's going to count in a million years from now? Think about it. It's not if the Bears win the Super Bowl this year, or if the Packers lose. Or if the Packers lose. Look at Mary. She thought I said if they win. It's not that new car that you buy. It's not the education that you worked hard so you can earn a living, which, like I said, that's a good thing. But it's not you being famous and rich in your best life now. God just going to give you apple pie and big pockets if you just got faith. It's not that. You know what's going to matter? Who did you lead to the Lord, or who did you try? What did you do in the body of Christ to edify them? That's going to matter in a million years.
Amen.
Them things. So that should be, always keep the main plane, right? So that's why I say this week, think about it. Invest in eternity. Invest now, because eternity is a long time, isn't it? You're going to be in heaven long time. Okay, then we have in verse 14. This is what pastors and teachers are supposed to be doing. That we should henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men. Men will, you heard of sleight of hands? You're a magician? You got them word and faith teachers or cults, they're sleight of scripture. They move them around, put them where they want, out of context. And be thankful and thank God for our pastor, for Dave, that because you're getting built up in sound doctrine every week, that you don't have to be tossed to and fro. Though I'll tell you, as you know people, like I remember the first time I taught at Faith Bible Church, I was a little nervous, you know why? I know Pastor Ricky, I heard him preaching, I had been started coming there, and I know he's a sound preacher, so I was thinking everybody here has been under really sound teaching, so if I make a mistake, they're going to catch it and catch me outside, and school me. But guess what? Everybody was graceful. But as I started to get to know people, I realized everybody don't apply the sound doctrine. I've heard some people here that you wouldn't believe, some of the Bible teachers they listen to, their favorite preachers. One guy predicted the rapture, it didn't happen. And he likes that guy. And another one's real big on 1 John 1:9, the Christians by our soap, saying that's the believers, instead of in context, it's to unbelievers. They need to admit they're sinners, right? So they can be cleansed and, get into fellowship. In verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, and that's what our pastor does, I believe. That's what I desired to do today. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. See, to mature. We don't want to be where we were 10 years ago, right? Or when we first got saved. It's cute to watch a baby when you give them baby food, and they go, it's running on their face. That's cute, right? But when you're, 21, 31, 41, 51, 65 and you're still needing pabulum, that's somewhat unnatural about that, right? And you know what it is? It's because not getting into the Word, just coming to church on Sundays, and that's it, you know? Or it's not applying the Word, because that's growth. See, on Thursday night, I mentioned, it's in my other Bible, but I'm preaching in Facebook, or I'm teaching at my live Facebook Bible study on Thursdays at 7, commercial, and we're in Romans chapter 6. I'm going through the book of Romans verse by verse, and there you learn we died with Christ, who we were in Adam. We were buried with Christ, no longer in Adam. We rose as new creations, new creatures. We're in the body of Christ, the new creature, right? And so that's what God did. It's not something we feel, right? I don't feel a lot of time. I don't even feel saved sometimes. Don't mean I'm not saved, because I got sound doctrine that tells me I am. Amen. Feelings will come and go. But then, after Paul tells us what actually happened spiritually, how the Holy Spirit baptized us and God identified us through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And then in verse 6:11, I believe, he says, reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, that sin nature, and present yourself to God, alive to God. Because when we were dead in our sins, he made us alive, right? And so that's what sound grace doctrine should do. It should cause us to want to serve God, motivate us, the love and the grace of God. You know, the grace of God is an extension of his unconditional love. And what did Paul say? The love of God compels me. And that word in the Greek has different ideas. But one is like a wind in the sail. The love of God pushes me along powerfully in view of God's mercies, right? His loving kindness, his grace. What does Paul tell us to do? Offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. God don't want no dead old sacrifices like it on the law. He wants living ones that choose to jump on the sacrifice of their lives. To say, here I am, Lord, I ain't much. Use me. I know I can't do this on my own, but I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? And let's see, I gotta watch time. Verse 16. So he talks about growing up, maturing, right? From whom the whole body, fitly, see, that's us, many members, right? One body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. I want you to think about that for a second. Every joint supplies. According to the effectual working, energizing, and the measure of every part. See, when we're all working together, make it the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. First, we serve God. We offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, motivated by his grace, his love, so thankful for it. Then we serve one another. We edify one another. We should be there for one another. We should be working together. What is God's will? That all be saved, right? And come to the knowledge of truth. So what should be our will, desire, and will to do God's will? Reach out to the lost. God desires all to be saved. And then what? Once they get saved, build them up in sound grace doctrine. Help them be prepared to live a victorious Christian life, a spirit-filled life. Empowered inwardly, not all this running around the church and shaking and, you know, anybody can do that. The devil can do that. Huh? That's what it's all about, folks. Coming to assemble, it's sweet the fellowship here. And when and that's why when people don't think it's important to come to church, I don't get it. I'm talking about grace believers. oh, I can watch Les Feldick, or, you know, I could watch the pastor on TV. No, there's something when you come, and the live teaching and preaching, and everybody, the Holy Spirit's in all of us, and He's working to encourage one another, edify one another, comfort one another, because we don't know sometimes what people are going through. Some people won't tell you. Sometimes you see a look on their face, but some people are pretty good, you know. They're in their car crying. They get some Visine out, you know, and come into church, you know, and, hey, how you doing? Oh, praise the Lord, everything's Jesus. And then they go in the bathroom because they're so depressed and they start crying again. And they wait, put water in their face. I've seen when the body of Christ gets together, and maybe I know something. I seen a lady at my Bible study one time talking to another lady, sister, and she just loved the Lord. She had this heart for the Lord. And she used to bring people all the time. I don't know how I think she had a gift of evangelism, because I didn't see anybody else bringing that many people. And they responded to her. She worked in a medical clinic. And she was so loving. So when she would invite people, I think they didn't want her to fill in. And they would come, you know. And so they'd hear the gospel, and they'd hear about how to rightly divide the word, studying the word. So anyway, she's talking to another lady. She's kind of short. You know what it is, Irene. And anyway, the other one's a little bit taller, looks like a model. And she's talking, and I knew with the taller one, something she was dealing with in her life. And that other one was just telling her about scriptures that was so convicting. That other one, I seen her face, she's turning red. It was the Holy Spirit in her, using her to edify, to challenge. Yeah. And that's what happens when we come together and work. You know, we should come together, fellowship together, but then I got 5 minutes. And then we should work together to reach out.
Amen.
Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 11 to 13. This is our Apostle Paul, who we get our commands from Christ, right? As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, listen to this, as a father does his own children. I love that intimacy. That you would walk worthy of God, who has called you into his kingdom and glory. What is walking worthy? One thing, it's walking in love. It's walking sacrificially. There's a whole lot, actually, but he says, for this cause, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you received it not as the word of men. See, the word of God isn't just what they say, oh, it's just written by men. No, men were the instrument. The Holy Spirit, God breathed his word out. All scripture is God breathed, right? Inspired by God. That word in the Greek scripture is graphe. It means a finished product. That means when Paul finished his last letter, the word of God was completed, the inspired word of God. And so we have that study now, translations, right? And so he says, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth. The word of God, listen to this, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So that word worketh has the idea of energizes. So that's why it's important to stay in the word, right? And also what else? You who believe it. Do you believe this word of God? Do you believe you got to rightly divide it? That's inspired too, isn't it? Do you believe it shouldn't stop just rightly dividing it, but it should continue to applying it? I hope so. Because that's when you know you're maturing. You know, it's not just studying the Word of God to as an intellectual pursuit only. You know, you want the Word of God to work in you. And go to chapter 1 in Thessalonians, verse 3. Remembering without ceasing, because first Paul says we give thanks from, we go to 2. We give thanks to God always for you, always mentioning of you in our prayers. Remembering without ceasing, listen to this. This is a model church. And Paul was only there, I think, about a month and a half. He was like, I think almost around a year and a half, or, Boyd, you'd probably know it, in Corinth. But look at that church. So look what happened. But remembering without ceasing your work of faith. See, if we got faith, it should be because God, it's God in you, right? Who's working both to will and for it is God who works in you both to will and do according to his good pleasure. So look at this. This is what our church, I think, a little bit lacks. A work of faith. I'm talking about outreach. And a labor of love. Where we all work together in love. And we labor together. And we start doing some things to reach the lost out there. And then he said, knowing brethren, beloved, your election of God. That's not a, you know what that word has the idea? Service. God knows. He notices everything that you allow him to do through you and you desire to, and he knows why. If you're doing it out of love or doing it to get noticed. Right? And then go to verse 9. And I'll end with this. For they themselves shew us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols. See? They turned away from idols, right? Actually, they believed the gospel. They turned to God first, and then they turned away from their idols. And then to do what? What's the next word say? To serve the living and true God. So I hope this encourages you to seek God today, this week, and including myself here, our whole lives, that he would do a mighty work through our individual lives and then together as an assembly. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. So many things that we read in there, Father, and we rejoice in how we're saved by grace, how we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, how we're completely forgiven, how we've been made alive. And we rejoice in those things, Father. And yet sometimes then it comes to offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, and sometimes we're comfortable, God, with our lives. And I pray your Holy Spirit will work in us, Father, and do a mighty work in this church and cause us to work together to reach the lost in this area and also in areas of our life, in our family, at work, no matter where it is, if we're in some fishing club, that you would use us. And we just thank you, and whatever is done in our lives are done through this church, Father. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, because it's because of your Spirit doing it through us, and because we can do all things through Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.